Today we're building a dark side rewind moment from scratch in Ableton Live 12, and we're doing it the way it actually works in jungle and old school DNB, tight, musical, gritty, and phrase aware. This is that moment right before the drop, or right at the end of a breakdown, where the whole tune feels like it gets sucked backward for a second. The crowd leans in, the groove breaks apart, and then the drums slam back in with more force because of the contrast. That's the key idea here. Our rewind is not just an effect. It's a groove decision. If you get this right, it should feel like the track has turned around to stare at you before charging forward again. Start by choosing that exact place where the rewind earns its spot. Don't drop it randomly in the middle of a phrase. Put it on a clean boundary, usually the last one, two, or four bars before a drop, or the final bar before the drums return from a breakdown. In Ableton, duplicate that section so you've got room to edit without disturbing the rest of the arrangement. Now decide what kind of rewind you want. If you want a tension rewind, the track briefly pulls back and then the drop returns hard and clean. If you want a DJ-style fake-out, the rewind feels more dramatic, almost like a dubplate reload. For jungle and old-school energy, that fake-out feel is often the most authentic. For darker rollers, the tighter tension approach can be cleaner. Why this works in DNB is simple. Drum and bass is all about forward motion. So when you briefly destroy that motion on purpose, the return hits harder. You're not just adding movement, you're controlling attention. Now build the source palette that can survive reversal. Don't reverse your whole mix. That's the fastest way to smear the low end and lose the power of the drop. Instead, choose a few specific elements that read well when flipped. A short breakbeat slice, a snare tail, a rim shot, a bass stab with mid-range character, maybe a vinyl noise or textured layer, and if you want, a reverse cymbal or crash tail. If your source is too clean, dirty it up a little first. A bit of saturator, maybe 2 to 6 dB of drive. A touch of drum bus if it helps the break hit harder. Use EQA to high pass anything that should not carry sub. You want the rewind to feel like broken drum identity and mid-range attitude, not a glossy cinematic wash. What to listen for here is whether the source still has a clear pulse when you flip it. If it just turns into noise, that's usually a source choice problem, not a processing problem. A good rewind starts with the right material. Once you've got the clips, commit them to a dedicated rewind track or consolidate them so you're editing real audio, not just auditioning an idea. This is important, because the rewind needs to become a deliberate arrangement device. Trim the clip starts carefully so the reverse hit begins where you want it to suck in. That tiny move matters more than people think. Now reverse the clips and place them into the final half bar, or 2 bars before the return. For a jungle vibe, a series of short reversed hits often works better than one long swell. For a darker modern edit, one longer reverse texture can feel more menacing. Both work, but they do different jobs. Shape the fade so the motion feels intentional. Short reversed snare or break fragments might only need 30 to 120 milliseconds of fade. Longer textures can use 100 to 300 milliseconds. And don't be afraid to leave small gaps between hits. Those gaps are what make the rewind breathe. A really useful move is to nudge a few hits slightly off-grid by ear. Not randomly, just enough to make it feel loose and old-school without losing the phrase. What to listen for is the sensation of pull. You don't just want to hear a reversed sample, you want to feel the current pulling backward. Now we make it musical with filters and envelopes. Drop auto filter or EQ8 on the rewind group or on the individual clips. High-pass most of the rewind elements somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz so the low end stays clean. If things get too bright or clicky, low-pass somewhere around 5 to 10 kHz. You can also automate a slow rise and cutoff over half a bar or a bar, then cut it cleanly right before the drop. For darker jungle flavor, a bandpass feel works really well. Trip out the sub, trim some of the top, and let the ugly mid-range do the talking. That mid-range scrape is often where the menace lives, and this is where the stop-start rhythm makes the whole thing believable. A rewind moment in DNB usually works better with gaps and returns than with constant motion. Try a pattern where one reversed break fragment lands, then a small silence, then a reversed stab or texture, then a final hit that cues the drop. That spacing makes the downbeat readable. What to listen for is whether you can still count the phrase through the rewind. If the groove is so smeared that you lose track of where the one is, you've gone too far. On the other hand, if the rewind feels too polite, shorten the gaps or make the last hit more obvious. Now for the bass. Don't reverse your full sub line unless you're doing a very specific effect. In real DNB arrangements, the true sub usually stays out of the rewind entirely. Either mute it during the rewind, or create a ghost version that's mid-range only. High pass that ghost around 90 to 150 HC and keep it controlled. If you want the rewind to feel haunted, that mid-range only bass texture can be powerful. If you want it cleaner and more DJ friendly, just let the drums, stabs, and texture carry the moment while the sub stays silent. Use utility if you need to keep the low end mono and disciplined. The highs can be wide, but the energy zone has to stay tight. That discipline matters because a rewind should never weaken the drop. If the kick loses authority after the transition, the rewind is probably taking up too much low end or too much space. Now route everything to a rewind bus and process it like one event. A simple chain might be EQ8, then saturator, then auto filter, or drum bus, then EQ8, then utility. You're looking for grit and shape, not mud. Push saturation lightly, trim the lows again, and use the filter movement to guide the ear. This is one of those places where less is more. If it starts sounding like fog instead of pressure, pull it back. The goal is not to make the rewind huge. The goal is to make it readable. A strong rewind is also about the return. In the last half bar before the drop, automate the rewind down and the drop up. You might dip the rewind group a few dB, open the filter slightly on the final hit, then leave a tiny pocket of silence before the first kick lands. Even a 1/8 or 1/4 beat gap can make the return feel bigger. Why this works in DNB is because the drop doesn't just need volume, it needs contrast. The rewind is the negative space that makes the drums feel violent when they come back in. If you give the drop a little room, the impact gets much bigger than if you just keep everything running nonstop. A good arrangement example is to use the final four bars before the drop like this. The first two bars can be more open and rhythmic, the third bar can tighten up, and the fourth bar can become almost bare, with just one final reverse hit before the drop lands on the next one. That little bit of emptiness is powerful. Before you commit, check the whole thing in context with drums and bass back in. This is the real test. Ask yourself, does the kick still feel like the downbeat? Does the snare still define the phrase? Does the rewind make the drop feel bigger, or does it just fill space? And does the bass come back with readable authority? What to listen for here is the inhale before the hit. You want to feel the track pull back, then snap forward. If the rewind is cluttered, simplify it. Remove one layer before you start adding more processing. In DNB, arrangement clarity usually wins. At this point, choose the flavor. Do you want it raw and ugly, with more breakup and more edge? Or do you want it polished and classic, with cleaner fades and more controlled phrasing? For jungle and old school energy, the raw version often has more attitude. For modern rollers, the cleaner version usually translates better. My advice is to print two versions if you can. One gritty, one tighter. Then stop touching the first one once the second starts working. A lot of good rewind ideas get weaker because producers keep smoothing out the instability that made them interesting in the first place. A couple of bonus moves can make this even stronger. Try using one anchor hit in the rewind, like a repeat snare or break slice at the end, so the ear has something to grab onto. Keep stereo width under control below the energy zone, and let the mid-range do most of the storytelling. Also, don't be afraid to resample the rewind once it works. Printing it to audio and processing the bounce again can make it feel more like a single recorded event. And if you want one really practical check, listen to the bar after the rewind at low volume. If the drop still feels obvious when it's quiet, you framed it well. If it only works loud, the rewind is probably masking the downbeat instead of supporting it. So here's the core lesson. A great dark side rewind is about phrase control, rhythmic clarity, and low-end discipline. Choose the right boundary, reverse selected drum and texture fragments, shape them with gaps and filters, keep the sub out of the way, and leave enough space for the drop to hit hard. If it's working, it should feel like a brief collapse of forward motion that makes the return more violent, more musical, and more club-ready. Now I want you to put it into practice. Build that four-bar section, keep the rewind in the final bar, and try the exercise with only a few audio clips and stock Ableton devices. If you've got time, make two versions, one raw, one cleaner. That's the kind of workflow that teaches your ear fast. You've got this. Keep it dark, keep it tight, and let the phrase do the heavy lifting.